Luke chapter 20, verse 27. Then came unto him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses shewed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. So, you know, if people just read, really, in my thinking, you could just read what the Sadducees said and dispel a whole lot of what people thinks about heaven. But even with this, you know, the Sadducees are going to take the law of Moses and they're going to take it to the extreme to try to prove their point that there would be no resurrection. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. If this woman had seven different husbands, who would be her husband in the resurrection in heaven? Well, that's a big dilemma, isn't it? I mean, think about our world today when they think about heaven and they're going to be with husband and wife and mother and daddy. Wonder what they're going to do with all these different husbands and different wives and different in-laws and outlaws. What are we going to do with all of them? That's a hard question, isn't it? Well, the Lord's going to answer that question. And he's going to answer it right to the point, I feel. So as we think about this, again, a parallel scripture, and I'd like to touch this verse in Matthew 22. I'm not going to read it again, but I want to read the first words that the Lord said. The first words that the Lord said in Matthew 22:29, he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So, the Sadducees knew the scripture in Deuteronomy, how that the Lord said if a man dies and he doesn't leave any seed, that his brother should go into that wife and raise up seed to the one that died. But they didn't seem to know the scripture that he mentions in Exodus or scripture, you know, as I don't want to go too far, but we could look in Isaiah, we could look in Daniel, and we could see that there is a resurrection, and that there is a resurrection, and it's not a fleshly resurrection, but it's a spiritual resurrection. Right. I'm not saying that we're not going to have a body in the resurrection, because there is coming a day that we're going to have a body. But as we think about this, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 22:29. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So as we think about that, the dead, we're not thinking about a bodily or a natural resurrection. What we have here, as we look in Luke and in Matthew as well, the children of this world, there is another world, ladies and gentlemen. There's another world that is not likened unto this world. Nicodemus was told that he needed to be born again. Why did Nicodemus need to be born again? He had already been born into this world. He needed to be born again for the world that was to come, didn't he? He needed another birth for another world.
I'd even say this, that being a member of this church does not prepare me for the church of the other world. I need a new birth to be brought in to a new family, to be brought in to a new world, to be brought in to a new church. This church is going to be dissolved one day. Whether it comes before the Lord comes or when He comes, this church is going to be dissolved. And by what Peter said, you know, this church is going to burn up just like the elements with a fervent heat. So we need to know the Scripture. You know, I hear, and you probably hear it a lot, and I hope you've not said it, but maybe you have. Maybe you've said at a funeral that so-and-so's gone to be with daddy, gone to be with mother, gone to be with their wife, gone to be with their husband. That's not true. There's no truth in that. No truth whatsoever. You're trying to mix two worlds together. They won't mix together. These two worlds, and there's a preparation. You know, you were brought into this world. There was preparation for you to be brought into this world. There was a birth that brought you into this world. And your sustenance has been brought about by things in this world. For us to come into the other world, there is another world. For the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. To the Sadducees, he said, you do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. So if we knew the Scripture, we know this. We know just a few Scriptures. I'd like to read a verse out of John chapter number 5. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. So to have everlasting life, that must be mean some kind of a life beyond what I have in my flesh, doesn't it? There must be another life besides the life that we have in this world. There must be another life besides the life that we have, that I eat meat and potatoes and vegetables and dessert and drink water and drink Kool-Aid and drink milk to keep this body alive. There must be another life that is sustained by something besides the things of this world. But Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 5, verse 25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now how in the world can the dead hear and live? If they're living now, how can they be living and be dead? So there is a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between the natural and the worldly and this world and the world to come. There is a difference between the natural living. So they are, in John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, they are living naturally, but they are dead spiritually. And if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to die spiritually, though they're already dead, aren't they? So what does it mean? What does it mean when we die if we've not been born again? I believe it'll be that we're going to die eternally. If we can live eternally, is it possible to die eternally? I'd like for you to just ponder on this scripture right here. The Bible says this. The Bible says, but they which shall be counted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor give, are given in marriage. For neither can they die anymore. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? You know, in this world, it's necessary, and it's a law. I mean a law of nature, a law of the world. I'm going to die. But do you know what that scripture says? There's another law. If I'm born again and I'm accounted worthy to enter into that world, there's a law that I cannot die. I cannot die. Isn't that wonderful? So if I cannot die because I'm brought into another world, being made worthy of that world, I believe we could say this. I know the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe we could say it. I believe we could say that those that have not been accounted worthy of that world, they cannot live. They cannot live. They can die, and they can die eternally, but they cannot live. Though they are living, you might say, well, they're alive, or they wouldn't be suffering. But I tell you what they're in. They're in a state of death. They're in a state that they're dying continually, and they cannot live. But thank God for them that are counted worthy to enter into that world. They cannot die. Hallelujah, thank God, I cannot die. Do we know the scripture? I tell you, we need to know the scripture. So in John chapter number 5, what do the dead need? Now they're living. I want to read it one more time. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So there they are, two of them together. They're dead and they're hearing. What about that? How can the dead hear? Oh, I tell you what, there is a voice. The voice of God to work through the Word of God and the wooing and the pleading and the call and the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit of the man of that heart of the individual who is dead spiritually. God can quicken and make alive that they are able to hear the Word of God. And if we hear, we can live. You know, if I think about this scripture that I'm reading in Luke, as I read this scripture, but they which shall be accounted worthy. So there is a necessity. There is a necessity for me to be accounted worthy, deemed absolutely necessary, and I must be deemed as deserving. How could I deserve this other world? But they which shall be accounted worthy, valued, equivalent, to deem entirely deserving, to obtain that world. So remember now, there's another world. There's a world where there's no marrying. There's a world where there's not a husband and a wife. There is a world, a friend, where we are likened unto, and by the word of God, equal unto the angels. There is another world. There is a world. And friend, that world, we have to be accounted worthy to enter into that world. And I realize this, I have no worthiness of my own. And how shall we enter into that? I'll tell you, we'll have to be made worthy. And the only way that we can be made worthy is through and by what John wrote down in chapter number 5, Jesus' word. We'll have to believe on His name. There has to be a spiritual birth. Now, we've had a natural birth. Nicodemus had a natural birth, but Nicodemus needed a spiritual birth. And friend, if we're going to enter into that world, there must be a spiritual birth. And you might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I want to declare it to you. I want to tell you that there must be a spiritual birth. Listen to the words of the Lord. Paul, as he writes to the church down in Corinth, he said, "If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this was all that I had." Now think about the writer. If in this life only, Paul is writing, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, I'm of all men most miserable. What about a life that's wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ? And every day of your life, someone wants to stone you. Someone wants to beat you. Someone wants to kill you. Someone wants to annihilate you. Someone wants to shut your mouth. Someone wants to destroy you. If that was all that we had in this world, wouldn't that be a miserable? We're not suffering like that. We don't face a day like that. I tell you, we're blessed to be a child of God in this world. Paul didn't have those blessings in the physical sense, in the worldly sense, but I tell you what he did have. He did have the spiritual blessing. He did have the world to come beyond and after this world to look forward to. And Paul says this in verse number 20. He said, "For, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." So now if you would think about this, would you think, ladies and gentlemen, about the firstfruits? Would you think that there's a world to come and the Lord Jesus Christ is a forerunner of that world to come? That the Son of God has been raised from the dead, and if He was like a type of the first fruits, we've got an acre of corn. And friend, when it starts coming in, you know what the law of Moses said? The law of Moses said, bring the first fruits. Bring that is first to come in, and bring that and bring it down and offer it unto God. And you know what's going to happen? Our friend, God is going to bless, and we expect the blessing of God on the rest of that acre of corn. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, that you and I would have a resurrection as well. He arose from the dead, and friend, my hope is in Him. I'm going because of Him. I'm going to be raised. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to that new world. I'm going to that other world. And I'm going because He paid my sin debt and He arose from the dead. And therefore, I will too.
This is Scripture. You err not knowing the Scripture. When people says Daddy's gone to see his wife that died 5 years ago, just know this. They don't know the Scripture. They do not know the Bible. And when they say Mama or Daddy is looking down on us and we're at the funeral, know this. They don't know the Scripture. Mama and Daddy and all of the dead know nothing. Our friend, they have been cut off from this world and they are in another world. They have no longer ties, nothing else to do with this world. When you leave here, my friend, it is over. All of your ties, all of your marriage, all of your children, all of your land, all of your money, all of your accolades, all of your accomplishments, they are left behind. The Sadducees think they're really going to put Jesus in a dilemma, aren't they? What a fool He made out of them. And I don't mean that to be ugly in any way. But they didn't know the Scripture, nor the power of God. Listen to what the Bible says. A very familiar Scripture. I am the resurrection and the life. I am Jesus Himself. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now you can look at that both ways. You can look at that as a bodily resurrection, and you can look at that as a spiritual resurrection. Yeah. I was dead in trespasses and sin, and thank God I'm alive today because of the resurrection. Yeah. I'm alive today because Jesus Christ is the resurrection, and I'd say our brothers probably has covered or recovered it this morning. He is the life and the light of men. And friend, outside of Him, we have no life. We have no resurrection. You know what's going to happen. Friend, if I die and I leave this world and Jesus Christ has never been my resurrection, if He has never brought me from death unto life, when I leave this world and when I draw my last breath, you know where I'm headed? I'm headed to a world of death. I'm headed to a world of damnation. I'm headed to a world of darkness. I'm headed to a world of a bottomless pit. I'm headed to where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Friend, I don't want to go to that world. I want to go to the world that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared. Friend, that you and I could be a part of another world. Do we know Him? Do we know the power of God? He is the power of God. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So through the gospel, listen to these words in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. No, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Listen to these words. Be not therefore, writing to Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, verse number 8, or of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Listen to these words now. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? A friend, that you and I can have life and immortality. You know, if you're not saved this morning, in God's view, you're dead.
Right. That's right.
And your death will be eternal. Just as there is a heaven, and to be in the presence of God eternally, there is a death that will be just as eternal as heaven is.
True.
Just as eternal as, you know what I have? I have eternal and everlasting life. I have a life that I cannot. Thank God I've been made worthy. I have been found. This is what I say. Thank God I have found the substitute. I have found a ransom. I have found, isn't that what Job said? Isn't that what the psalmist said there? I have found a ransom. Oh, thank God for the ransom that's been paid, that you and I could be a part of the family of God. And you know what life and immortality has been brought to life through? The gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. The good news of what? That Jesus has died for me. That Jesus has died.
And you might say, well, he died for the whole world. I'll say this, there's no other Savior for the whole world but Jesus Christ. And if you're one of those, if you would be one of those, he died. Oh, preacher, he died for everybody. I'll just say this, are you one of the everybody? Are you one of those? Yes. Whosoever will. Praise God for whosoever will. Will you? Will you come? Will you be saved? Will you be a part of the family of God? If you will, I'll say this. I thought about it about myself this morning. If it hadn't have been for God who moved upon me, I would have went right on down the road to hell. If it hadn't have been God who persuaded me, if it hadn't been the gospel, if it hadn't been the call, if it hadn't been the work of the Holy Spirit, I would have went right on down the road to hell. But I'll say this to you today. If there's any inclination for you to come, if there's any desire for you to come, oh, would you come today and be saved? Would you come today if God would be calling you? If God would be penetrating and moving upon your heart? Would you come today through the wonderful, merciful, long-suffering and mercy of God? Would you come and receive immortality through the gospel? No other Savior for the whole world. He's the only Savior. No other Savior. So, back to Luke. But they which shall be accounted worthy entirely to deem entirely deserving. I say this. Is there anything in me? I'll just answer for me. I won't answer for you. Is there anything in me that would make me worthy of the world to come? There's nothing in me. There's nothing, and Paul said it like this, there's no good. There's none good, no, not one. That would include me, and that would include you. So what do I look to today? Oh, I look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I look to Him. And you know what He can do? He can make me worthy. Our friend, through and by His offering, He made me to be accepted with God. Through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, our friend, He made me to be worthy. He made me that I could be accepted. He made it, ladies and gentlemen, to where I could be deemed. I could be deemed absolutely deserving of salvation. You know where I have to be, as was already said, where am I? Oh, I thank God today I am in Him, and He through the Holy Spirit is in me. How do you know you're in Him? Through the Holy Spirit, I know that I'm in Him. And through the Holy Spirit, I know that He is in me. Yes. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. A resurrection from the dead. Is that necessary? Listen to these words. I hope you can see it. Neither can they die anymore, for they are. Not they will be. They are. They are equal unto the angels. They are the children of God. Being have become the children of the resurrection. How am I going to be prepared for the world? I must be born again in this world. I must be saved in this world. I must be a child of God in this world. And I must be a child of the resurrection in this world that I can be prepared for the next world. So if I think about this for just a little, in Galatians, let's just walk through a scripture or two. We could look in Romans. We were dead in Romans, weren't we? When did He die for us? I believe it's chapter 8 and chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I ask you this, if I sin, let's go all the way back. Let's go back to the garden. When Adam sinned, what did God say would happen? When Adam disobeyed, what did God say would happen? He said, you shall surely die. You know what the devil said? The devil said, you won't surely die. But he died from the presence of God, didn't he? He died from the presence of God. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we were dead. We need a resurrection, don't we? We need to be resurrected from our dead state spiritually. I'm not talking about physically dead. Thank God there's nobody here. If there was somebody here this morning that was physically dead, we wouldn't be carrying on with the service like we are right now, would we? But there are people sitting here today that are spiritually dead. And Paul goes on to Galatians and he says this. Galatians chapter number 2. Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So there was a part of Paul that must have died. I believe we could read over in Romans also that we were crucified with him, but when he was raised, we were raised with him. So there again, there's spiritual death. If we're going to be made worthy, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to go. We're going to have this man, this spiritual man, this thinking, that inward man, that spiritual man that's going to live forever. That one that when we go to the funeral home and we say, you know, I don't believe so-and-so's here. I believe they're gone to heaven. You must believe that there was a part of them that was separated from the body then, don't you? You must believe that there was a part of them that was separate and different than the bodily living. There must be a part that lives beyond the death of the natural man. So that man needs to be born again. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus died that Paul could have a spiritual resurrection. In Ephesians, listen to the condition. And you have he quickened to be made alive. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I just say this. Did Adam's trespass and Adam's sin bring him immediately to a physical death? No. But boy, didn't it change his demeanor? Didn't it change his character? Didn't it change his thinking when God came in the cool of the evening that day? Didn't it change the way that he looked at himself after he sinned? Isn't it amazing that day after day that he and God communed together day after day? But that day, Adam ran and hid himself. That day, Adam gathered fig leaves and sewed them together to cover his naked. That day, Adam was fearful of God. That day, Adam realized that he was naked before God, and yet he was still alive. Physically. There was something went on the inside of that man, wasn't there? And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So if I have sin in my life, if I've never been forgiven through and by the offering and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as God's concerned, I'm dead. Anything dead going to heaven? So I must be made alive here. I must be made alive here in this world. We've got this world and the world to come. That's all there is. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no different. There's not a middle place in there where we can get right with God. either this world or the world to come. That's all there is. Paul said to the Ephesians, and you, but you, you who were dead, it hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world. I just ask you this. Are we walking as a saved person? I realize today that the lines are so blurred, it's hard to tell today. But you know the reason they're so blurred. We don't know the Scripture and the power of God. I tell you, a saved person is going to walk in a different manner than what the world does. A saved person is going to walk different than what our world calls a church and a Christian. God is not going to do a work in me and make a new creature out of me and allow me to walk and to live and to act like the world does. He will not allow that. Just as what the Bible says, you and where in the time past, you know, there's a change. And the time past, you walked according to the course of the world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the children that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Would you say this, that you can spot a sinner? Can you spot someone who is disobedient unto God? You know, I believe we're living in a world that they've really got to be, they've got to be morally and physically, and they just got to be so ungodly for us to even recognize them today. But I say this, you just follow the flesh. Follow the majority. Follow the world as a whole, and you'll end up in hell. I tell you, there's a drastic change that God makes. When God raises a man from the dead, God brings about a drastic change. We change who we walk with. We change who we follow after. There's a great change. But my point is this, there is a condition that man is dead. We need to be resurrected, and we need to know the power of God. Did it take the power of God? Can you imagine all the weeping and wailing that went on from day one till day four down in Bethany where Lazarus lay? Can you imagine the weeping and the wailing that went on from Mary and Martha and all of the friends and family that was there? But you know that made no change in Lazarus. That made no change whatsoever. But here come the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sister said, Lord, he stinks by now. There's no question about it. And the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. And the power of God brings a dead man out of a tomb. Right. How long have we been dead? Do you think in the nostrils of God we stink? Do you think that our deadness is a stench in the nostrils of God? Well, I'll tell you this, he's able. He is well able to raise us from the dead. You could think about another scripture in Colossians. Paul said this, if you then be risen with Christ. So there's something happened, folks. If you be risen with Christ, then and seek those things which are above on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that wonderful? Paul's looking at it from a different perspective there. Paul is saying this, you're dead to the things of the world and you've been made alive toward God. But we were dead. Could you see that? Could you reason with me one more time in the book of the Revelation chapter 20? The Bible said this, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I realize in the world we live in, they've got a lot of different resurrections. But I just want you to think about you as an individual. How many resurrections are they for you as an individual? There's two. There's a bodily
resurrection, and there is a spiritual resurrection. That's all there is. There's no more. No more. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He changes not, is there a different resurrection for a different group of people? There's two resurrections. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So I ask you this, reason with me. What resurrection is the first resurrection? It has to be spiritual. If I have a spiritual resurrection, that makes me worthy for the world to come. And I am equal with the angels. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the resurrection. And I cannot die. If I do not have part in the first resurrection, I'm going to die twice. I'm going to die first, a natural death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If I've not had part in the first resurrection, which is spiritual, when I die a natural death, I'm headed to hell. There's been no spiritual resurrection. In the eyes of God, I still have my sin. In the eyes of God, I'm still a rebeller. In the eyes of God, I'm still rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, I have still, and I am still, a child of the prince and the power of the air. I have not had a spiritual resurrection. Therefore, I am going to die eternally. You might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's just put a couple of verses together. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I want you to look at this with me. What is the second death? How many resurrections? Two. How many deaths? Two. Right? Verse number 14, Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Who's going to escape the second death? Those that have had a part in the first resurrection. If we've not had a part in the first resurrection, if we've not had a part in the birth through and by the Lord Jesus Christ making us alive. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If I've not had a part in that first resurrection, then the second death will have power over me. Can you see that? So, neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels. You know, I don't know what all could be said about that. I guess you could spend months and months searching about the angels. But you know, as I see them, they're doing the will of God. As I see them, they're praising God. As I see them, they're created for His glory, for His honor, for the praise to the Lamb of God. They are eternal. You and I are in that. We've been made, I'm not saying that we're an angel, but we've made likened unto them through the new birth. We've been made likened unto them through the resurrection. We've made likened unto them
Now, we're children of God. We are and are. We are children of God. I must be a child of God now. I must be in the Lord Jesus Christ while I'm in this world. Yes, there's marrying, there's giving in marriage, there's all kinds of things that are worldly and things that are tied to this world, but I'll tell you that my salvation is now. Is that not what Paul says to the Corinthians? Now is the day, now is the time. While God, while I succor thee, while I help you, while I move upon you, as Brad read to us this morning out of Isaiah, while God is moving, while God is calling, while God is pleading, while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to our heart, today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. It's not in another world. We must make our preparation now. We are. If you obtain that world, you cannot die. They are equal to the angels, being the children of the resurrection. They are the children of God. Are you a child of God today? You know what? The whole world could say they're children of God, couldn't they? But that's really not what we're talking about here, is it? We're talking about another world. Are the people in hell, are they the children of God? Not spiritually, but naturally they were the children of God, weren't they? The whole world is sustained by the power of God. We live and we move and we have our being because of Him. And the whole world consists because of Him. So we're all the children of God. We can all trace it all back to Adam. But what about spiritually? Are we the children of God? Has there been a new birth? The Bible says that they are. The Bible says that they are the children of God. Being, do you see this? Being. Have become being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses shewed at the bush. When he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So let's look there for just a moment. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Pull your shoes off, Moses, verse 5. For you're on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I. Now the am is put in by the translators. Let's just forget am and read it. I. The God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, he's not the God of the dead. So is Abraham alive? Is Isaac alive? Is Jacob alive? They're alive. He's not a God of the dead. He's not the God of the dead. There's one that's over the dead. There's one that's over the pit. There is one, but I tell you, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about a God who said, I am. I, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Friend, now, He's not a God of something that's been annihilated. He's not a God of something that's non-existent. He is a God of that is in existence, and that is alive. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when Moses is standing here before God, you know they've had all of this time down in Egypt. How long they been down there? 400 years, haven't it? I mean, the last one in the lineage who went down there was Joseph. He was the youngest one, right? Maybe Benjamin. And he's saying that Abraham and Isaac has been dead for
400 plus years? They're alive? Oh yeah, they're alive. You see, this God that we're talking about, this God is not a God of the dead.
Neither are the dead. Now then, the dead are raised. Even Moses shewed at the bush. That means to make known. You know what he's doing? He's making known that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are still alive. And the Sadducees knew the book of Deuteronomy that said you got to raise up seed to your brother, but they didn't recognize Exodus 3:6. You know why a lot of times I can't recognize Exodus 3:6? Because I've already got in my mind, I've already got a prejudice, I've already got my mind made up that God is not a God that can raise people from the dead. So therefore, when I read it, I misinterpret it and I misrepresent it. That's what happens to Scripture all the time. Man goes with his preconceived idea, and instead of reading it and taking it, they didn't know the Scripture, did they? They didn't know the power of God. If they had have known the power of God, it might very well have been that they would have no longer been Sadducees.
Just another word. I'd like to read a word to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, I believe it is. Chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. You know, Paul is talking in this chapter about marrying, virgins, husbands, wives. Listen just a little bit. If any marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marry, she's not sinned. This is in 7:28. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, in this world. Okay? But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they which have wives be as though they had none. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abstain, not abusing it, but the fashion of this world passeth away. You know what all of those are? All of those things are temporary. I tell you what we ought to concentrate on. Are we a child of God? Are we a child of the resurrection? Have we been born again? For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Just another scripture or two and we'll hush. The book of Acts 14 and verse number 8. I'm sorry, not the right scripture. Acts 17:28. For in Him, in Christ, we live in God. We move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring. Colossians, very familiar scripture. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. There's nothing going on, ladies and gentlemen, that's out of His hand. And I say this out of Romans, I believe it is, whether we live or whether we die. So we've got a little window of opportunity, don't we? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of the resurrection? Are you going to live forever and you cannot die? Or are you still
in the same condition spiritually. You know, we look in the mirror and we know we're not in the same condition fleshly, don't we? I mean, we look in the mirror and if it's a little five-year-old, we see them changing day after day after day. Or if it's somebody that's my age, I look in the mirror and you know what? I went across the top and headed down. I'm changing. But what about my spiritual condition? Am I prepared for the world to come? In this world, you may marry. And you know something? We're living in a world today. I mean, I can think of several people maybe that's been married 2 times, 3 times, 5 times. But you know, when they leave this world, all of that's over. All the children left through that marriage, they're left. All the property, all the husbands, all the wives, all the kin people, everything that you've had in this world. What about the world to come? Are you counted worthy for the world to come? Anything to make you worthy?